Can you hear me now? It does sound like it's on. Okay. Again, that was a good introduction for the message today, Emily. It's just awesome to see the way God moves to prepare us for what He's got for us for the church today. And I've entitled the lesson for today, Prayers for Prodigals. So all of us somewhere in our lives, in our families, in our loved ones, we have people who have wandered away from the faith and who need to come back to the Lord. And I have a little card that I use daily. There's 21 different prayers for prodigals on here. And I pulled out a few of these this morning to share with the church so that you know how to pray for those of your family or your loved ones or friends who are not walking with the Lord as they should, who need to come back to the Lord, who need to begin to walk wholeheartedly with the Lord. And the first one that I came upon was, let them know how valuable they are. And that's kind of what you touched on there this morning, Em. And we're going to look at some of those today. We're going to be in Psalms 43, where she started out this morning, and that's where we'll start. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Father, I thank you this morning for your love. I thank you that you love us unconditionally. No matter how we act, you still love us. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the relationship that you want to have with us, a love relationship that just, it's unlike anything else that we can have. And I thank you for that. I thank you that you love us unconditionally. And Father, that you, when we come to you, that you remove our sin as far as the east is from the west. We don't see it anymore. So I thank you, Father, for that. I thank you that we don't have to walk in guilt, but Father, that you cleanse all of that away. So Lord, as we look at your word this morning, as we share some time together around your word, I ask, Father, that you'll give me the words to say. Father, that I'll not get in your way this morning, but that you'll speak through me, and Lord, that we'll have ears to hear what you're saying to the church this morning. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I said, I actually have five things written down here, I believe, different titles that we're going to look at today. And the first one, if you would, just go ahead and turn to, actually, Isaiah 43, not Psalms 43, it's Isaiah 43. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7 in Isaiah 43. But this first one, what I want you to take from this is to say, Father, reveal to them how valuable and significant their life is. Isaiah 43 is just a good chapter to know that our worth, to know our worth with the Father. And I'm going to begin in verse 1. It says, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob. He who formed you, O Israel. So we were created by God. We were formed by Him. And He knows us. He knows who we are while we're made. It says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. So when I think of these verses here, these talking about the water, being in the water, so I remember as a kid, my first times in the water, I was really scared. I was afraid because when I couldn't reach the bottom, I didn't know how to swim yet. And so it scared me. I didn't know how I could be in the water and not drown because it was scary for me. We were taught to swim when we were really young, so we learned how to swim and learned how to love the water. But I know that anybody who can't swim doesn't enjoy being around water. You don't enjoy being in deep water at all. And now it doesn't matter to me how deep the water is. I still love it. I still enjoy it because I know how to swim. I know how to control myself in the water. But the water can be scary. But the Father tells us here that He's going to take care of us. Whether we're passing through a water or whether we're going through a river that's overflowing, a flood stage. We used to get on air rafts and ride the river when it was flooded just because it was up high enough that you could really go. So we'd get our air rafts and walk up to the neighbors and get on the river and float down home. Or actually, you didn't float. You were just... It didn't take long to get home because that Kokosing branch, the north branch of the Kokosing, gets pretty full whenever it rains hard. And we loved it. We would go over top of the barbed wire fences because the water was so high we didn't get caught on any fences or anything. And it was just fun. I imagine it probably wasn't very smart for us to do that, but we loved it. Because that's just, and I can remember my daughter with one of her friends. We got home. When we moved where we are now, we had a big culvert in there, and they were, when the creek got up, they were riding an air mattress through that culvert, just flying through the culvert and going off the other end of it. It's crazy what you do for fun. But He says here in verse 2 that He's watching over us all through all those times. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I had to think of Matt's sermon last week when it talks about, there's two different times here. It says to fear not or don't be afraid. In Jesus, we don't need to have fear. We don't need to be afraid. It says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. So all of His children, He takes care of us. If we're called Christian, then He takes care of us. We're called by His name. He created us for His glory. So let your friends, your loved ones know that they're valuable. They're significant to Jesus. He loves them for who they are. The second thing that I pray is give them a vision for their purpose in the world and show them the possibilities for the future. So I got this card a long, long time ago. I used to pray this over Jesse, my son, because it's for prodigal sons is what it says, but it's for all prodigals. And anyway, when I think of the prodigal son in the Bible, in Luke chapter, I forget which chapter it's in, but it's there in Luke, the prodigal son is. And so I prayed for that him for a long time, and then there was another the fellow that Jamie grew up with and nannied for, was in a broken home, and he quit walking with the Lord. And so I pray for him through this every day. So there's somebody in all of our lives, as I said, that you can pray for, somebody that you can lift up to the Lord to bring them back as they wandered away from him. So we're going to go to Jeremiah 29:11 for this one. It's just, you all know Jeremiah 29:11. And it's just a good verse to pray or to share with someone who doesn't feel that they're significant in the Lord's eyes. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Number three is to show them that through you they can do all things. For this one, we have to go to Philippians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Oh, Philippians 4. I said 1, but it's Philippians 4. Beginning of verse 12. "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Through Jesus Christ, we can do anything that he needs us to do. He gives us the ability. He gives us the tools to do anything that he asks us to do. And that's awesome. The other side of this that I want you to know and want you to understand for the prodigals is that we can't do anything unless we abide in him. It says we can do anything through Jesus Christ, but we can't do anything unless we are connected to the vine. And I want to go just look at the vine and the branches for a little bit in John 15. So we're going to go back to John now, to chapter 15. Oh, let's begin in verse 5. It says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." And you can go on down through the rest of that chapter, and it's just a lot more verses on the Father's love and how he loves us and cares for us, and how we're to love one another, care for one another. Number four is teach them the need to protect their mind through the choices they make about what they look at, listen to, and think about. If you think about these three things, if we don't pay attention to what Jesus wants in our lives, about what we look at, what we think about, and what we listen to, what a difference that makes in our daily activities, in our daily life. If we pay attention to what we look at, listen to, and think about. And for this one, I want to go back to Philippians chapter 4. I guess I should have stacked them two together and so we didn't have to go back and forth so much. But we'll go back to Philippians to chapter 4. Verses 8 and 9, and then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians for a few verses as well. But 8 says here, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. These are the things you should think about. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So we want to think about the good things, positive things. And then back in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just back a few pages from where we are. 2 Corinthians 11. And we're going to look at verses 3 through following, and 3 and following. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I'm afraid, make sure I'm on the right spot here. I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. But I do not think I am the least inferior to those super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. So, again, it's talking about keeping our minds on Jesus Christ, paying attention to what's preached to us. That's why I want you guys to make sure that if we say something from the pulpit that's not, that doesn't match up with the Word of God, make sure you let us know so that we can correct that. We try to pay attention to what we're saying and to what the Lord's speaking. But if we get in the way, say something wrong, you make sure you let us know that. And that's why it's important that you pray for us. I noticed in the bulletin today it says we're to pray for your elders this week. We ask you to do that every week because we need your prayers. We want to lead you correctly. this is a perfect way for the church to fail, for this little body to fail, is if we get on the wrong track, if we're not paying attention to what God wants, if we're not leading you correctly, then we need to know that so that we can correct it. And then the fifth thing that I found was cause them to love you with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind. Matthew 22:36-39. Matthew Matthew 22, beginning with 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It says all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So as I've told you before, I've used this verse before, and it's important that we remember these two commandments. Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're putting things in the right perspective. Philippians 4:4 also says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. It just repeats it there twice. And then I want to end up today in Psalm 28. So we're going to go back to Psalms now. The 28th Psalm, for a few verses there that talk about praise to the Lord. Beginning with verse 6. It says, praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. For the Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. So just a few ways that you can pray for the people in your lives who are wandering away from the kingdom, or are wandering away from God. They don't feel the Lord in their lives. They don't do anything to build their relationship with him. And this is a ways that we can pray them back into the kingdom. We've found in Sunday school time that our prayer time is very important to the body of Christ. We can change the way people's lives are by praying for them. So spend time in prayer. Spend time praying for those. One of the things that I pray for the church is that our church will grow by new converts. It's just a good way to grow the church. So that's why it's important for us to pray for those people in our lives that are wandered away, that need to come back to the Lord with a strong relationship with him. So these are just a few ways that we can pray for them and bring them back into the fold. When you look at the prodigal, the lost son, how he went and just squandered all of his riches on righteous living, it says. And then he came back. His father forgave him and welcomed him back with open arms. Remember how mad the other son got? He didn't like it because this guy went and just basically squandered his inheritance. But God accepts us back as well. And he wants them to come back to the fold. You know, it talks about when one sheep is lost out of the 100, out of the 99, he goes and looks for that one that's lost and leaves the rest and goes and finds that one that's lost and brings him back to the fold. So as we close up today, as we finish our final song, if any one of you needs prayer for any reason, why, we'll be here to pray with you. Make a difference in someone's life this week.